creepy, crawly inflation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at what's driving the overall economy today. This morning we learned the consumer price index rose by 0.7% last month, more than expected, the biggest rise in nearly a year. Doug Foreman is director of equities at Highmark Capital. He joins us live from San Francisco. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So, all right, Doug, everyone says inflation's in check, but consumer prices keep going up and up. Make me a believer.
Well, you know, Steve, the main driver of the CPI being better than expected last month was a 17% increase in the price of gasoline. And crude prices, which are tied to the price of gasoline, have moved from the low 70s, which was, we thought, abnormally high, down to the low 60s. So I think you'll see a slight reversal in those numbers as we go forward.
So this is all about gas prices?
For the month, I think longer term, if you look out, you know, despite the fact that the government's printing press is on high speed, we have substantial plant capacity out there. Capacity utilization, in fact, is at a record low of 68%. And obviously, there's still a lot of people out of work out there that are finding it tough to find jobs. So it's sort of hard to see how inflation's going to rear its ugly head under these sort of business conditions that we see today.
All right. Well, we did get a solid earnings report and a good outlook yesterday from chipmaker Intel, better than expected, and they report brisk sales. Does this mean, Doug, people and businesses are buying more of that stuff now?
Well, Steve, so far the Intel strength that they're seeing is really being led by the consumer and the consumer's push in netbooks and some of the low-end products that are out there, particularly in the Far East. The U.S. is actually doing fairly well as well. Business spending is still dead, quite frankly. So I think that's something that will pick up hopefully next year, but I think we're not expecting much out of business spending this year. People are still hunkering down and controlling costs.
And Capital One today said, Doug, that credit card defaults are on the rise, approaching 10%. What does that tell us about the future quickly?
Well, I think it means that, you know, the consumer is still under stress and still having problems paying their bills. And as long as the unemployment rate continues to tick up, that trend will probably continue. We're hopeful that by year end will start to and actually improve.
All right. Doug Foreman, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
I do appreciate it. And where's Wall Street? We mentioned Intel. Technology shares are bolstered over the news over at the NASDAQ, up at this hour. As a matter of fact, right now, up about 2%, 2.1% to be exact. The S&P up 1.5%, same for the Dow. European stocks are up, and Asian markets were mostly in the green today as well. There's a Rose Garden event today for President Obama to push a health care overhaul bill unveiled yesterday by House Democrats. It would insure nearly all Americans using tax hikes and surcharges. Opponents to the plan say it costs, taxes, and governs too much. A group of prominent investors and former regulators is out today with a proposed overhaul of financial market oversight. It says the idea favored by the Obama administration to increase the powers of the Federal Reserve to police systemic risk is not the way to go. The group wants an independent government body to do the job instead. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The investors group includes two former heads of the SEC, representatives of prominent investment firms, and California's huge pension fund. It says the Federal Reserve isn't competent to monitor risky behavior that could endanger the entire financial system. That includes delving deep into the operations of banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, and private equity firms. The problem is that the Fed has lost credibility, says Pete Hahn of London's Cass Business School.
The Fed, like and many other international bank regulators, as perceived as having been asleep at the switch for the last decade.
Critics say the Fed focused exclusively on monetary policy and kept interest rates too low, fueling the housing bubble. Plus, they charge it allowed financial institutions to get way out on a limb with complicated investment vehicles and too many risky loans. The new systemic risk oversight regulator proposed by the investors group today would be appointed by the president and report directly to Congress. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, July 15th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. AMR, the parent of American Airlines, said today its quarterly loss shrank from a year ago. The parent of the number two U.S. airline said its second quarter net loss was $390 million, compared with a loss a year ago of $1.5 billion. Now, American kicks off a string of second quarter earnings reports for major carriers. The others are all expected to post losses as well. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
Last year, airline profits took a hit from high fuel prices. This year, it's the drop in business travel that's causing problems. Airlines typically get most of their revenue from business travel. Now, carriers have been forced to offer deep discounts to leisure travelers in order to fill seats. That's caused revenue to plummet 26%, according to the Air Transport Association. And that's fueling speculation that we could see a new wave of bankruptcies, reminiscent of those following 9/11. But aviation consultant Mike Boyd says those fears are overblown.
It's very much like seeing a car on a railroad crossing and saying, boy, it's going to get hit by a train, assuming the driver won't be smart enough to get off of it. The airline industry is adjusting.
Boyd says major U.S. carriers are much more nimble than they used to be. They're better positioned to cut flights and ground jets. And then there are the new profit sources. Boyd says the fees for everything from a bottle of water to that extra bag now account for nearly 5% of the revenue at some carriers. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Congress continues its parade of hearings on financial regulation today. The latest topic? Hedge funds and other private investment firms. Now, the Obama administration has proposed new rules to make the industry more transparent. And some insiders say, bring it on. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Rather than fight increased regulation, some in the hedge fund industry seem ready to accept it.
The idea that we have to have or should have significant pockets of the financial system outside of anybody's oversight is neither good for the country nor good for the industry itself.
That's hedge fund lobbyist Andrew Lowenthal. He's with a group called the Coalition of Private Investment Companies. Lowenthal says hedge funds recognize that more regulation is inevitable, and they've paid to help shape that regulation. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, hedge funds have ramped up their lobbying in the last few years. They've spent $16 million. Hedge fund lawyer Ron Geffner says the worry is that in trying to appease constituents, lawmakers will overreact.
It's like mixing a batch of drink for the first time. You're putting in the Kool-Aid. You want to mix it in slowly, try it, because once you put it in, it's hard to get it out.
The Obama administration wants to require fund managers to register with the SEC and report more information to regulators, but Congress could decide to clamp down even harder. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
I know it's only Wednesday, but let's start thinking about beer. For the beer business, it seems the better the brew, the bigger the sales. The fancier, pricier craft beer is outperforming cheaper beer, even in this recession. And that makes beer makers hopping happy, Ben Calhoun reports.
On a recent morning at Brooklyn Brewery, bottles marched single file into a labeling machine and pirouetted out in shiny new labels. In the rumbling brew house was Steve Hindy,
founder and president of Brooklyn Brewery.
Hindy's brewery sold its first beer in 1988 and is one of many breweries that have made American craft beer successful. But he admits he was ready for trouble when the recession hit.
We actually tightened our belts. We cut back basically wherever we could.
Hindy froze hires and trimmed his marketing budget. But a funny thing happened. Even as the economy tanked, sales of Hindy's craft beer didn't.
In fact, the opposite has happened.
Even though a Brooklyn Brewery six-pack can run you $10, sales are up 26%. Industry-wide, craft beer is up 10%, according to data from the research firm Information Resources Incorporated. Not only that, so-called premium craft beer, the ultra-pricey stuff, that's grown the most.
Yeah, it is kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
So the question is why. Komil Gajrawala is a beverage market analyst for UBS and says there's a few explanations.
If you can afford the better beer, you're probably less impacted by the economy.
He also buys into what a lot of craft brewers believe. That is, when people cut back on big things, they ease the blow by finding more affordable ways to splurge. So if you're not buying a fancy bottle of wine, not buying a new car,
not going on vacation, not buying a whole variety of things, if you can't do any of that, you probably would like to trade up something like your beer to something that you consider higher quality, something that you enjoy more, something that gets you at least a little bit closer to feeling better about what's happening in the economy.
Feeling better in New York. I'm Ben Calhoun for Marketplace.
Finally, iPhone meet high art. The auction house Christie's is rolling out a new application using the phone's camera function. Eventually, the auction house hopes to add a live bidding component. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
New tax incentives, new stimulus money, they make the U.S. an easy choice for foreign renewable energy companies looking to set up shop.
There's another reason that this needs to be done, and that's Buy American. There are Buy American requirements in a lot of the billions of dollars of stimulus monies that are going to go to green technologies.
I'm Kai Rizdal. A toehold in the U.S. green energy market next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.